This is Ruth Greenblatt recording the February 2017 UCSF Senate Executive Council report. Item 1, Academic Council. Item 1, Academic Council. The Academic Council has, or is, in the process of endorsing UCLP's policy statements on President Trump's executive order on entry into the U.S. for persons of specific nationalities. And I quote, "We are deeply concerned by the recent executive order that restricts the ability of our students, faculty, staff, and other members of the UC community from certain countries from being able to enter or return to the United States. While maintaining the security of the nation's visa system is critical, this executive order is contrary to the values we hold dear as leaders of the University of California. The UC community, like universities across the country, has long been deeply enriched by students, faculty, and scholars from around the world, including the affected countries, coming to study, teach, and research. It is critical that the United States continues to welcome the best students, scholars, scientists, and engineers of all backgrounds and nationalities. We are committed to supporting all members of the UC community who are impacted by this executive action." Other UC-wide issues include the planned increase in undergraduate tuition and the Regents' plan to set a limit for non-state resident enrollment. Non-state resident enrollment has proven to be an important source of revenue for state universities that are not adequately funded by public resources. You'll note the New York Times had a story several months ago on this. It's of interest. In addition, enrollment of non-residents, particularly international students, provides important diversity, which benefits in-state students. Non-resident funds contribute to financial aid for in-state students, particularly at UC Berkeley, UCLA, and UC San Diego. The Senate recommended to the Regents a policy that maintains the enrollment but ensures that funds raised by enrolling non-resident students directly benefits California students. And I quote, "Campuses shall report on their investments of non-resident tuition revenues made to improve access and the quality of education. The Regents will limit non-resident enrollments on any campus where resident undergraduates are disadvantaged by further expansion of non-resident enrollments. Each year, system-wide enrollment plans for both residents and non-residents will then follow from the adoption of a sustainable financial plan that ensures UC's quality on every campus." The Senate has also been asked to give input into a proposed revised presidential policy on controlled substances. Two items in the revision are noteworthy. 1, chemical precursors of controlled substances. The existing policy requires that precursor chemicals be treated in the same manner as controlled substances, but precursors are regulated through the chemical suppliers, so the existing policy is redundant. 2, background checks. A requirement for background checks by UC for personnel who handle controlled substances is being considered versus continued reliance on the federal DEA for this. And the DEA only requires a signed statement by the individual that they have not been convicted of a felony. The recommendation is to defer to personnel policy SM21 defines a personnel screening program that is required by law that requires specific background checks for all policy-covered staff who have access to or handle controlled substances. The policy-covered staff would complete a screening form that includes the felony question, whether they have used controlled substances that were not prescribed, or if they have ever lost a controlled substance permit in the past. So the proposal would extend the self-reported data collected regarding history with controlled substances. The Council and Assembly is also calling for nominees for the 2017-18 Vice Chair of the Academic Council, presumed to become the Chair in 18-19. We should think about whether any of our UCSF colleagues would be interested in this work, which requires a commitment to work from UCLP for 2 years. The ideal candidate would have extensive Senate experience, as Jim Chalfant wrote. I request your assistance in nominating candidates to serve as Vice Chair of the Academic Council in 2017 and 18. The person selected will serve as Vice Chair of the Academic Assembly, the Academic Senate, and the Academic Council, and as a faculty representative to the Regents. Outlined below are the procedures adopted by the Academic Council for nominating and selecting the Vice Chair. In order to encourage participation in the nomination process and to promote general awareness of Senate leadership succession, please distribute this invitation widely. I ask that it go to both colleagues within the immediate circle of your Senate and to members of the respective divisions broadly. The procedures are as follows. Candidates may nominate themselves or be nominated by a current or past council member. And the council members include the chairs and vice chairs and Senate directors from each of the campuses, as well as chairs of key committees such as Faculty Welfare, Committee on Research, Committee on Academic Personnel, the Board for Undergraduate Admissions, etc. Candidates must submit to Senate Executive Director Hillary Baxter a one-page curriculum vitae, a one-page statement of challenges and priorities for the Senate, and a simple statement indicating a willingness to serve as Vice Chair and then Chair of the Academic Senate, if elected. Candidates should be aware that the position is a full-time assignment at the Office of the President in Oakland. Candidates are urged to submit their materials by March 13, 2017. The candidates must be able to attend the March 22, 2017 meeting of the Academic Council to make a brief presentation and to participate in an interview with council members. The Academic Council will make its selection of a nominee at its March 22 meeting and will forward its nomination to the Assembly for action at the Assembly's meeting on April 12, 2017. Jim encourages anyone to contact him if you have any questions. Item 2, the $48 million fit. Our colleague Stan Glantz and with Chris Newfield have relaunched an attempt to reclaim the California Master Plan for Higher Education to fully fund UC, CSU, and the community colleges, including in-state graduate and professional students. The proposal calls for approximately $9.5 billion annual fundraising via an income tax surcharge. Median surcharge would be $48 per year. For individuals at or above the 98th percentile of income, it would be just over $1,000. The full proposal is posted on the Senate website. It's something to think about. I fear, however, that President Trump may transfer Medicaid funding to block grants, after which providing medical coverage for limited income Californians will dominate all state budget considerations. Not a real reason to not endorse this proposal, though. Item 3, endowment funds. UCSF has done a remarkable job in raising donated funds for the campus, thanks to our chancellors and our development office and the faculty who've been engaged. This includes the most recent Diller gift of $500 million, which includes $200 million for students, $200 million for faculty, $100 million for the chancellor to utilize. Additionally, UCSF may engage in a fundraising campaign. Thus, this may be a good time for our division to give some thought to how we think the funds for faculty should be distributed so we can make our recommendations. It must be kept in mind that $500 million is not instantly available at one time. The gift is a commitment to provide the funds over multiple years, and we might weigh on. Ideas are not, however, limited to these. Are there faculty who may not attract individual donors like grateful patients due to the nature of their work and thus may benefit most from an unspecified gift like the Diller one? How should funds be distributed across the schools and programs? Should the funds be targeted for recruitment, retention, or something else? Should the funds be targeted to early career versus late career or something else? Item 4, space. Building and renovation continues to be a major campus activity, and I really think it will be for at least a decade. The campus continues to evolve its approach to getting faculty input and requests for faculty input are now consistent. Most recently, the campus is asking that the intended occupants of new spaces organize their own governance within the constraints of the design. There may be an opportunity for the Senate to focus on facilitating communications between the building-specific groups and to ensure that past history and experience from other buildings inform ongoing decision-making. Thus, the EC and the division need to make final decisions regarding how Senate space activities will be organized. Looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. Bye.